Supposing then a person comes to me suffering from some psychological or perhaps psychic disorder for which they have found no medical cure. How do I proceed in trying to help them? Generally, along the following lines. If possible, enter into contact with the reincarnating ego, keeping your mind open for intuitive insight. And ask the reincarnating ego, what is the matter with your personality so that it has found itself in this unfortunate position? Where has the error been? What are your suggestions, both mental and verbal and occult, for the treatment of your personality? To what extent are you yourself at work on this task and would collaborate in treatment? That generally is my beginning in nearly all cases. Contact the ego, notice the degree of development, find out if possible whether the sufferer has developed the aroused condition psychologically, occultly, or with Kundalini in former lives. Did they, in doing so, set going any adverse karma by wrong or hurtful practices for others upon themselves? And how far are you and they from having reached a condition where the adversities are susceptible of effective treatment? This is generally my very first action, what you might call, quite reverently however, a talk with the ego. By this means you avoid many of the difficulties, one of which is that the patient themselves, either consciously or unconsciously, are practicing concealment or deceitfulness, meaning that they are keeping something back or they are deliberately misleading you about what they are suffering from. Now all of that's got to be found out at the beginning, the very first. It's a penetrating insight into ego, mind and psychology and even physical personality of the patient. Then, if successful, the results are duly noted and the patient begins to be advised, and if desirable, certain invoked spiritual aid is called for on their behalf. Now this, in its turn, is not limited to the time of the interview, but is daily. One every day practices spiritual healing for those who come for aid. In order to be effective, one must know the full names and, of course, the sex of the sufferer and what else is necessary about their personality, their home surroundings, their relationships with their fellow members living in the home, and any other experiences in their life up to now which are in any way related with their present predicaments. All this needs to be known, otherwise you are treating in the dark. So a very large part of psychic healing from this point of view is a penetrating research into the personality, psychology and egohood of the individual, as well as their karma from former and earlier in this life. All this alone enables you to apply the best and most likely effective kind of treatment. And I must say this and remind you that in just as in the work of a doctor, of first importance is the full history of the case, the full details, and all the tests, as of blood and organs and history and other diseases and so on. Well, still more so, the would-be spiritual healer has to extend that investigation into the deeper issues and more private lives and egohood of the sufferer. If you don't do this, you're working in the dark and you're directing perhaps tremendous energies in directions which are ineffective and indeed not needed. So you'll excuse me saying this, that you cannot generalize about spiritual and psychic healing. You must take each case on its merits. Take, for example, supposing a person comes to you and their family or they themselves say they feel obsessed, that at times their mind goes out of their control and makes them do things which they don't wish to do, or they feel that there's an entity taking control of them and forcing them to perform actions which they don't wish to do. Or they may say that this obsessing influence renders them completely unconscious for a time, and during which period they perform very undesirable actions. Or the obsession may take the form of fear, up to through nightmares and on up to fears on to panic. Some will say that when they get to bed at night, they feel that their room is invaded and that there's an ugly this, that or the other coming to prey upon them and terrify them. Some say that they wake up in the night with very serious terror arousing them, and they're running with perspiration and they feel that there's an entity in the room. Now all of these different cases come up to you, and then in this case, of course, nothing but a deep clairvoyant examination can help you. Is there an external entity or is there not? Or is it all within the psychology of the individual? Is it a kind of psychological state they've got into which really makes the whole idea of obsession interior and subjective rather than exterior and objective? All of these things you've got to find out. Otherwise you waste out a tremendous amount of occult energy to no good. Now if it's external, supposing there is an entity that's making a noose of themselves to this person, well then you must place yourself into contact with this entity. And you must do so in an entirely superior position. You know that since you are living a perfectly harmful, indeed helpful life, you are superior to them. since they are doing hurtful things. And you have this attitude, not of prideful superiority, but of seniority. Well, then you say to them, now you are making yourself a nuisance here. Now, this has to stop. Do you understand that? And he says, no, I'm going to stop. I'm in charge here. This is my case. And I say, oh, very well then. I'm sorry, you will have to be driven out. And then there will be a battle of wills. And you invoke the inner powers of the soul and the help of the angelic hosts, and you drive that person out. Now, if it turns out that it's an elemental being, as it quite often is, not a human, not a being which has achieved individuality, then that entity can be destroyed. But if it is a human obsessing person, then the entity must not be destroyed. Or you can't destroy it. In fact, it's an immortal spiritual being. You are not allowed to destroy the mental astral bodies. Not allowed to do that in the case of a human enemy. But in the case of an elemental, or a shell, or something like that, then you can. So, first of all, you get the creator, the creature, out of the body of the person. Then you begin to exercise power over it. If it's an elemental, you just bring atmic will force down through its head, down to its lowest organ, and just spit it apart, and it's gone. If it's a human being, well, then you start reasoning. Now I'll give you one to, now that's theory, John. Now I give you one, two examples. This is the kind of thing I live with. Now, for instance, when I arrived in one city as an invited lecturer, I received a very peculiar request from the council of the lodge. And they said, we've received a letter here from a resident in this city whose house, they say, is very seriously and adversely haunted. And so just as you go to a plumber, if your drain pipes are out of order, so you go to the Theosophical Society if you've got an obsession. Will you please send your man and have it cleared away? You're written out. Very amusing. Very well. I didn't laugh at it. I said, well, before I began anything as I thought, I said, well, let's go out and have a look at the place. Now, first of all, I would say to you that the trouble was that an elderly member of the family had died quite recently, but would not leave the house. And no servants would stay, because they became aware of his spirit presence, which frightened them. And also there were noises going on in the house, and an air of depression, and other adverse influences. No servants would stay, and the members of the family, especially the young, were very upset. So I said, very well, I'll try and help. So we went with the car and stopped at the gate of the house in the garden. It's quite a nice garden. And I stood in the garden. I wasn't doing anything very much. I sort of examining the place and trying to sense the psychic atmosphere and what was it all about. And above all, John, is it real? You know, the imagination plays a tremendous part in all of these things. It's one of the things you always have to find out. Is it real? Is it real? Or is it imagination? The kind of examination I've told you about solves that problem. You find out if it's real or if it's imaginary. Well, in this case, and I'm giving you an example to help in what you're asking, I stood in the gateway and the house was just there, and lo and behold, an individual presented, an astral person, presented themselves to me. I wasn't particularly using occult vision, but I must have become rather psychic in my endeavours to know what's the matter, and there appeared before me a man, an elderly man, quite a nice fellow. So I said to him, I hear that this house is haunted and that you are the agent. Is that true? Yes, it is, and I'm going to go on, he said. So I said, well, you know very well that you can't be allowed to do that, don't you? I'm going to, until the matter is cleared up. So I said, well, what is the matter then? Well, he said, I've recently died suddenly, and they all say that I committed suicide. And I didn't. I never committed suicide, and I never would. And there they go on talking and talking as if I committed suicide. And this enrages me and keeps me earthbound there in the house. And I can't go away and I won't go away. Not until they alter their thought. Disgusting. He was so, he was cross. So I said, oh, very well. I will do what I can for you. But remember, if I take on this case, I will do, whether they agree or not, you have to go. He looked at me. You have to go, I said. This can't go on. We don't permit this. We take, always take a very strong line. Well, so then, the next thing was to get in touch with the people concerned, husband and wife. And so I said to them that my experience was that this man's brother, elderly brother, was living in the house, that he did not commit suicide. And after death, in his conscious life, he is very, very offended indeed with you all. And it's this which hurts his feelings very much and arouses his anger and keeps him almost earthbound to the house. And it will do so unless you accept his assurance that he died naturally and not by suicide. You willing to do that? I said. They said, yes, we are. We are. There is a doubt about it, and we are not quite sure. And we perhaps have made a mistake. Well, now then, are you willing to say now, standing here in front of me, are you willing to say, I now affirm my full belief that so-and-so by name died a natural death and did not commit suicide? I said, yes, we are. Well, now please say it, both of you together. And they both of them repeated those very words. All right. Then I said, right, if you'll leave me alone. So then I got into touch with the man again. And I said, now, does that satisfy? Yes, it does, it says. I won't trouble them anymore. Goodbye. And off he went. And then I must tell you the amusing, what followed. Then what followed was, the owner of the house wrote to the lodge, said, we thank you very much for sending your effective man up to clear our house, our haunting, and will you please send us your bill? Well, they pressed. I said, of course, we'll never take a halfpenny for this. So I said, well, I can't accept anything at all. I never do. You'd lose your power, much of it, if you did. If you ever had a personal motive in it, most of your power's gone. It's the absolute impersonality, the absolute idealism, and freedom from idea of self-gain, which gives you the power which you have. The moment you become tainted with the other, you lose your power. That's a law of the occult life. Now, what happened, amusingly, I'm telling you, this is not occult, they reported to him, the couple, that I thanked them but declined financial aid, never charged. So they said, well, we would like to do something for him. Is there anything he'd like to have? Does he need just now? Ask him if we can't do something. Well, it so happened that one of our suitcases got burst on the journey. So I said, oh, very well, there's a burst suitcase. If they wish to give us a suitcase, then thank you very much. So they took the size and everything, and lo and behold, a very beautiful and wonderful suitcase came. And followed us around, we called it the ghost bag. Now, I'm telling you this to show you how practical you have to be,
yes,
John.
Yes.
Now, I'll give you another. But my best answer is to give you actual cases.
Yes.
Now, very dear and close friends of mine, and my former wife, very, very rich Americans, invited us to go and spend a month or so, with them in a castle in Germany, at a place called Rothenburg Abtaber. Lovely old castle. Well, I was in need of a rest. I'd strained my brain. And so we accepted. Flew over from London and went into this nice old castle. No sooner had we arrived than we found there was trouble. And the servants wouldn't stay, and the family were troubled because there were steps going up and down the stairs and taps on the walls and doors and general psychic disturbance. So they said, oh, we're so glad you've come. We're in very grave discomfort. All right, the usual investigation. What happened was that the owners of the castle, very high born German family, had owned it for generations. But the mark after the First World War had dropped right about down to nothing, and the remains of the family had nothing else but to do but to let it let rooms, which was a terrible insult to the elders. And Emma, who was the one the resident, who was doing the household work even, a high-born lady, doing it quite happily, they were very nice with her, and this absolutely outraged. And it showed itself in this storming. Well, there we were again, you see. So I had to do what I've tried to do. Don't let me feel as if I'm boasting, will you? Or making great claims. I know my limitations only too well. But I got into touch with them. And I found out what the trouble was. They were enraged and humiliated that rich Americans people should come here and go and take over their castle and make a servant of their wonderful Emma. So I had to talk. I had a very bad time with it. Now this was a case where I had to use force. But this was a case. By the by, they wrote a book about it afterwards, and it was all put in, this whole story. It's called Vanna. I'll see if I can get it. V-A-N-N-A. I don't know whether I can get a copy. If I can, I will. It's just to show you that it's historical. Then I had to bring in certain powerful members of the Angelic Host. So I performed a ceremony of exorcism right through the house and in every room. And at first I had some difficulty still. They would tap on my pillow, try and disturb my sleep, wake me up at night, tap, tap, tap on the pillow. So finally I invoked the highest kind of angel, Archmic angel that I knew. And I invoked their aid, put them on guard. So we drove them out. I told them we didn't want to hurt or injure them, but they'd have to stop this nonsense. And so then, and they weren't at all responsive at first, but eventually I invoked strong angelic aid, put the whole castle in under their guard, and it cleared up. Now I say this not to praise myself, but to show you how important it is to investigate the cases right down to the root.
Yes, yes.
Right down to the root.
Yes,
now another cause of trouble is people who in former lives have practiced yoga and probably got the kundalini going. Now it's a curious fact that when once a person has really successfully, as in the Indian ashrams or elsewhere, got the three currents of kundalini fully flowing up to into the head and out through the Brahmaranda chakram with the resultant added siddhis, when once that's been done in any life, in every life afterwards, kundalini is very near the surface. And if they take up philosophic or deeply religious studies or meditations, it's very likely the kundalini will stir up of its own accord. Now this can cause considerable trouble of a great many kinds. They are an excitation of sex. That's one trouble. Excitation of sex. And, yes, darling?
You've been taken down all this time?
Yes.
Oh, no. As long as you want to be.
What, dear?
As long as you know that you are.
Oh, we've got the tape recorder.
Right.
Excitation.
Yes.
Excitation of sex. That's it. When puberty has passed, you know,
yes,
and they really enter into the teens and later, they find themselves increasingly driven along the lines of sexual desire. And this can become almost uncontrollable. They can, some of them in very worst cases, this is one of the great dangers of kundalini arousing. They can become sex monsters. Because the sex force, instead of rising up, as I just said, out of the top of the head, plays forward into the pelvic organs and causes a tremendous excitement of the whole generative system. Do you see? It's one of the great dangers of anyone starting to evoke and wake up the kundalini. That's why I advise everybody against it. unless they're under a master or a qualified occult teacher. Otherwise, the danger of that kind of thing is very great, and it's going on all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm consulted by these Hare Krishnas and Ananda Margas and all sorts of them. They come to me. Mm-hmm. This is one of their troubles.
Yes.
Heightened sex desire. The next one is that the Kundalini doesn't get any higher than the solar plexus. And it plays and opens this chakra. That throws them open to the astral plane and all the lower astral forces and intelligences and nature spirits and elementals. And they come in and play on them here and nearly drive them crazy. Or not only with the sensations on the body, but also with the strain on the mind. That's another. Then the others follow as it goes up. Now the great benefit is, if it goes right up out, and the whole idealism is lofty, and they're determined to devote their lives to service, very well, then it could turn out to be very valuable. By awakening in them, the occult powers which hitherto were asleep. But there are dangers and there are benefits. Again, the ruling decision is selflessness. If there's any idea that by this procedure or any other occult development that you're going to gain in however slight a degree you're in trouble, almost certain trouble, and also you will not gain any particular spiritual progress, you won't. It's very, very harmful indeed.
In such cases, do you use your imagination or willpower to try and draw it up the spine? If it starts to escape, you start to notice it and feel it.
Well, two things. Well, it all depends on so many cases, John.
Yes.
What I would say about that is I generally try to stop it. But one of the peculiarities about Kundalini is, the serpent fire is, with exceptions, if it's really stirred up properly, it can't be put down.
I know a girl who...
Beyond the possibility of being put down.
Yeah. When she starts to meditate, it starts, she begins to notice
past it. Lives.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Yes, now, but let me answer your question. Another part of the program is that you... it is possible to bring a certain force down the spine, from the top of the head and down the spine, and as it were try and shut the Kundalini fire down. As long as the person promises that they will not do anything in the meantime which will arouse it, you see. So it can be to some extent soft-pedaled.
By an external agency or the person
your
himself?
Your own will.
Your own will.
Yes.
Yes, I see.
Your own will. And you must watch carefully while you're doing it. It's not a good practice at all, but it can, I presume a great master could do it very well, but a mere humble struggler like myself, it's a very big problem. And I may say that a great many of the troubles you mentioned are, as you probably know, traceable to this premature, unregulated arousing in ignorance of this tremendous cosmic fire in man. The first thing you should do is to explain it, to warn everybody against it.
Yes.
It's very dangerous.
Yes.
I think I ought to add something there, John. Unless you have something you want to ask.
No, all I was going to say is, she experiences the Kundalini when she meditates.
What's it feel like?
Well, warmth and a sort of moving feeling.
And
perhaps light, yes, in the spine.
Yes. Does it hurt?
Sometimes I think she might have experienced slight dizziness, I'm not sure.
Yes.
And
does
she
it hurt her at all in any way? Is it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's all.
Possibly just pressure, just a bit of pressure.
Is she distressed?
Not really, no. No.
Not really distressed?
No.
I see. Well, that's all right. That might be to the good.
Yes.
Well, there you see you've got to be an exam. What's the mode of life?
Yes.
Married or unmarried?
Yes.
School, education, career, got to find out everything about the person. Then you could say, well now, supposing this is aroused, it might help you.
Yes.
You see? All that's got to be gone into. And the person advised very, very carefully, taking all the situation all the circumstances into consideration and wisely advise. In an extreme case, you can do something to shut it down. In other cases, you would simply advise the person about it, how to handle it. That's all. This is one of the great dangers.
Which is what? To stop thinking about it, to stop reading about it, to stop doing anything, exercises, to change your mode of life so that it sort of subsides perhaps by itself? Or?
Well, dear fellow, the answer will differ with them.
Yes.
How can I say that generally?
I know.
Depends on the person.
Yes.
You examine that very carefully.
Well, a person who's suffering from it, they accidentally aroused it, what do they do? They're suffering pain and all the other experiences you have with it. What can be done?
You won't like what I'm going to say. Nothing.
Mm.
That's why I say it's so dangerous. Yes. That's why, apart from a very powerful occult miracle,
yes,
which is always possible, practically nothing could be done.
Mm.
That's why it's so dangerous.
Yeah, I realise it's dangerous.
That's why I didn't respond at all to you.
Yes.
When you said, would I come and teach how to arouse faculties? Mm. I won't teach that.
No.
It's too dangerous.
Yes, I didn't really want you to teach, but to just conduct a course into the very simplest, a general state.
And one thing, of course, I'm in my 90th year.
Yes,
and I've got all this work at the lodge, and the youth groups coming here and other groups.
Yes.
And I'm in the middle of books.
Yes.
Three new books are now being printed, and another three are on the stock. We're working day by day. So do you see it? I feel that that's the more important part of my life.
I understand.
So you'll please excuse me.
Yes, I do.
It's not lack of interest. But if you've got a particular case you want to bring to me, anything like that, then I'll do my best to help on a special occasion. But I cannot possibly undertake what you suggest.
No.
Please excuse me, John.
That's all right.
Not lack of interest.
Well, I do hope that... I'll just stop this.
Even the tremendous healing power and healing grace of the Lord Christ. So in nearly every case we invoke him. May the healing power of the Lord Christ descend upon then the Christian and the surname and heal so-and-so. And we hold that thought and vision of him very, very strongly. And generally it will put the person right. That's how we work.
Is that right?
Though in addition, I may do something to it.
Do you need to touch the person when you do that?
No. Every morning, John, for nearly an hour we do this. We have people right from all over the world. All over the world. Continually getting letters. Just this kind of thing.
I know.
And cables. Well, every morning we spend nearly an hour invoking divine help for them. It's astonishing. They write and say, oh, I'm so much better. Thank you very much.
And that's how you do it?
Yes.
And it takes a minute for each person?
About that. About a minute for each person. If you know them...
Do you have to visualize the face?
I'm just going to let me go on. If you know them, visualize the whole personality clearly. And always visualize them as in perfect health.
Yes.
Never as ill, because the thought power is too strong.
Always
visualize everybody that you'll come to in this way as radiant in health.
Yes.
Then, holding them very strongly in your mind, like that, then you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, may the healing power of the Lord Christ descend upon Christian and surname. May his healing power descend upon, pervade, and remain within, whatever the name is. And may the holy angels encompass and minister unto us. Very strong, very clearly. For about a minute. Then the next case. John, it's amazing what it does.
And you would use that in a variety of cases.
You can't go wrong.
John, will you make me a cassette of it?
What's that?
That.
Certainly.
How much? I don't think I pay you now. Yes.
Nothing, of course.
Nothing. John.
Look, what I'm getting is invaluable.
He'll give us. Let him give us.
We must have a cassette of that, dear. Because as though you've said it at seminars.
Well, if you can't, I know Frank Wilson will do it.
No, I will do it.
Will you? Yes. Right.
We must have that for that. So thank you very much. But I wish I could pay for it, John.
No.
Thank you very much.
Done so much for me.
Yeah, I see. Well, was that, have I said all I wanted to do? Oh, that's invoking healing every day. And may the holy angels, you have a very clear idea that the angelic hosts, the shining ones, are all around them, pouring their vital energies into them, and that the Lord Christ's power is descending from above, and that they're absolutely pervaded with healing power. And clear visualization is important. Then it's amazing. And I tell you, this distance doesn't make very much difference. It really doesn't. All over the world, we're having these. I've had it all my life, maybe. So this is the way, John.
Yes.
I think so. Now, are there any other... One more question. Pick out one good to help you as much as I can. What other? Shall I take another form or you?
Well, I had 45 questions that I had been working out over the last 3 months, which were, as specific as I could make them. But as you say, they're so general.
My answer would nearly all be the person before me.
I know, but...
Are some of them living people you could bring?
Well, one or two might be,
but
it was also for a book that could be published by the TS, and so the thousands could receive help.
Yes.
You see, because as you know, this is getting worse and worse and worse.
Very much right.
And there's nobody in the TS that I know, whether in New Zealand or overseas, that knows very much, and then who can do anything.
Yes, but remember, John, I had to use a great deal of effort to get to know.
I know.
Who's talking like that? You've got to do something.
I know.
Well, set about
but
it.
But perhaps your experience I mean, you've written several books.
Yes, but after I'd started.
Yes.
See, I'd started. As soon as I came back from the First World War, which I thought had shattered me and damned me, really, because my nose had gone, I started yoga again, straight away. To my astonishment, within about... a month, I began to see the auras around people. And how I kept on and I kept on, I began to see the little nature spirits.
Is this through meditation?
Yes, meditation only.
Your yoga of light
meditation? Yes, yoga meditation. That's what I did. Then I began to see, I see them now, of course, when I'm talking to you, they're playing over. And then I began to see, as you know, from my book, The Kingdom of the Gods, began to see the higher beings. Until they know what they are to me as much... inhabitants and neighbors as you are.
Yes.
And of course that makes me in a special position because I get their healing aid, you see. Get their special healing aid. Because I know them, you see.
Yes.
Now, I only say this to you. I have a long way to go, but I've gone that little way. And my only answer is to anybody who feels like you do, set to work and train yourself. There's no other answer. I doubt whether this is something that one person can do for another.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but you'll see that yourself.
Yes, I know that you'd like to be very precise and have the case then going. It was just that there are so many people who have these... Perhaps I could read out just a few of the questions, not that you need to answer them, but just to give you an idea of what I had in mind.
But I can tell you whatever you had in mind.
Yes, it's not suitable.
I'm very sorry. You wait till you're 90. You feel the same.
I know. Well, I know that more and more people are going to come to the TS, and since I'm interested in this, I meet some of them, and they say, well, now, what can I do?
Well, send them to be.
Yes, but then, you can only take so many, and then when you're no longer with us, there's nowhere to send them to, whereas if there were some general statements in a book, they might be able to say, right, I'll meditate, I'll watch my diet, I'll make affirmations, and we can write the affirmations in the book, and stop doing this.
No, I can't do it, John.
Yeah, I
sorry,
see.
It's not my dharma,
yes.
Not my way. And I doubt it, because I keep saying the same thing to you. Every case is so uniquely individual.
All right, you
what suits one might suit another.
Yes.
And also the wrong treatment times.
I know.
I found that out.
Yes. Well, that's what I was worried about, that you can pour an energy and overstimulate something that's already overstimulated.
Yes, that's why you have to be able to see.
Yes.
And have a chat with the ego.
Well, you said I could have one more question then. You said that you could invoke the Christ as a method that you could apply to all sorts of treatment to all sorts of complaints.
Well, not only complaint, for the blessing of rooms, buildings, audiences.
Yes.
Audiences, groups, blessing everybody.
Yeah.
Draw upon the highest powers you know, not only your poor words, but theosophy and their power.
Will this clear out thought forms, evil beings in
absolutely,
a room?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's a very general and helps a variety of complaints as
very
well
as. Much
as
so.
Is there some other one major way of helping that can cover all sorts of complaints?
No, I don't think so.
There's the invocation to Christ and invocation to the angelic hosts.
Yeah, give me a moment. Then you see you've got to find out then the way the person's living. And there's something to be cleared up there. Mm. Then you've got to find out where did it start? In utero? Bile treatment for the family when they were children?
Mm.
Where did it all begin?
But now there's a school of psychology that says it doesn't matter how it was caused, but you've got it now, so let's cure what's here.
It doesn't matter. It won't work.
Mm.
Many of these things, by the by, are begun in utero with a mother suffering psychological and other difficulties.
I see, which affects the auras of the child.
It does. The building of the fetus, you see, gets affected.
Yes.
And so on. And then again, the whole question of former lives, and so on and so on, their karmic situation in accordance with the great law. Oh, there's so much to be found.
But I mean, if a person has a leaky etheric double and always tired, is there some way of sealing that etheric double?
Yes, but I couldn't tell you.
I see.
I couldn't tell you. Supposing I aren't you in words.
Yes.
Flow, sun, blue elemental essence over the body. Mm-hmm. That's the way, it's the only way. Direct sun, blue colour, elemental essence over the whole skin in the physical body. Hold it there and hold it there and keep on until it's sealed. What use is that? Can't see what you're doing.
But if you imagine it strongly enough, won't it still happen?
Yes, might, a little. Try it.
And would a group help? A group of people doing it on one person?
Might, yes.
I mean, isn't there a whole future now for group work?
Yes.
I notice in your book on the angelic host, you talk about the cancer elemental, and perhaps a group can eliminate a cancer elemental.
Yes, quite easily. That's just a strong group with... so much depends upon the members of the group being totally and absolutely convinced, sincere, realistic and unselfish in their membership of the group and very closely unified as a group. That going down, because that's important.
Yes.
That's very important indeed.
Yes.
In all groups. And there must be no, for example, no kind of angling to be leader of the group.
Yes.
That kind of personality can creep in and spoil it.
Yes.
You want a complete selflessness in all of this work. I wish I could do more, but I can't. I can't.
Yes.
But I'm here in any severe case of John.
Yes. I was just thinking of the future and the fact that the occult explosion is getting bigger and bigger, and it's coming to New Zealand, and people are trying things, and it's going to go on for years and years.
Well, there's only one answer, set to work yourself.
Yes.
There's only one answer to that.
Mm.
You'll never learn this by coming to somebody else, you know.
I know, but I thought just as a medical encyclopedia gives you things you can try and do to help yourself. Make sure you eat this kind of food, go to sleep, do exercises.
Yes.
There would be general things that they might be able to do so that they could get some relief.
Well, I didn't use
that
invocation.
Yes.
I don't think I dare go any further. Might give wrong advice.
Right.
I have to let you go now, my dear fellow.